Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning discussing all things, or Monday morning, discussing all things Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Alex Doherty from the Tennessean. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I am a little bit under the weather. I don't know exactly where it came from, but I cannot rule out the possibility that Luke Shen got me sick.
I was gonna say, like, this is this a is this an extension of Luke Shen's maybe some problems he was having in Game 5?
I don't know for sure, but I can tell you this: if I was having to cover a Game 7 in Vancouver right now, it would have been miserable. It would have been terrible. So it's blessing in disguise.
Well, we appreciate very much you taking time to power through with us this morning here on the program. So let's just start with the series. Now that it's over, your thoughts on the series for the Predators against Vancouver, and now kind of with that in the backdrop leading into what sort of an offseason you think this is for the Predators, given the 18-game point streak down the stretch, the age of the roster, the decisions in front of Barry Trotz. How do you view where the Predators sit after this series?
Yeah, very strange series. I mean, just if you think about the last 2 weeks, the roller coaster that everyone went on from the Predators side, the Vancouver side. I mean, after Game 1, it felt like it might be a short series, but then we find out about Thatcher Demko, and the whole tone changes. And then, you know, they win Game 2, and it's like, oh, here we go. The Predators are in the driver's seat, and then they just completely fall on their face at home. I think this series tells us a little bit about maybe – and this – I think this – what I see from the series tells me a little bit about maybe Barry Trotz is not going to try to do the same thing he did last summer. I mean, I like the fact that Barry Trotz was willing to try to go – get the pieces that he wanted in the building, like Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist and Luke Shen, to build the roster to win now. But I think maybe that kind of series tells him that, like, there's a lot more work to do here. And it's not necessarily about, like, just going out and getting known commodities. You've got to find, you know, the next level of player in your own system in order to find a way. I mean, like, the Canucks, most of that roster, most of it, not all of it, but most of that roster is all homegrown. I mean, like, there's a lot of guys that were top draft picks, a lot of guys that weren't, and they, you know, they went and got Elias Lindholm, but, like, the most of those guys are people that they you know, drafted or developed over time. So I think he knows that he's going to have to – I mean, this series to me is like – it's a combination – it's a weird combination of the Predators as built by David Poile and then the Predators as repaired or remodeled by Barry Trotz on the fly. I think you have to look at it and say this roster was good, but it's still not good enough. And, you know, you've got a great coach. I mean, the fact that this series was so even when the roster differential was pretty great, in my opinion, tells you you've got a great coach in Brunet. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's got game plan ability. He's got the ability to adjust on the fly, matchups, all that stuff. He knows what he's doing. You've got a great coach. So you've got to improve this roster 20%, 30%, 40% more in the offseason in order to really feel like you can make a deep run in the playoffs.
So do you look at it, Alex, like it's almost – I mean, first of all, I guess I start to ask this question. It's obvious the goalie question, you kind of start there. But do you look at it like Trotz could choose to, okay, build on this. You have O'Reilly coming off a great year. You have Nyquist coming off a career year. You have these veterans who played very well this year, not as well in the playoff series, but very well this year. And so you enhance that, you add to it, and you let the young guys come up as they do. Or do you make the conscious decision to basically go younger and be willing to take a brief step backward, ideally brief, and see what you have there. Do you look at it that way? Like it's kind of a like an A or B there?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we know about Barry Trotz so far as year one of his general manager job is that he's much more willing to he seems like he's going to lean towards known commodities rather than just throw in younger players, right? I mean, even at the trade deadline with getting Zucker and Beauvillier. So I think he probably has learned a lot in this year. I think he realized. Yeah, I mean, I think he it seemed like at the deadline – let's go back to the deadline for a second, because it seemed like at the deadline he came out of that kind of assuming that he was going to be in control and could make all the moves he wanted to and realized that, you know, general managers weren't picking up the phone and weren't dealing with him and didn't care about what they had to offer. And so now he's like, okay, well, now we have to adjust and figure out – all right. And so now he's got the Soros situation. It might be the same situation. I mean, like, there's not a lot of teams that are really in on Soros. I mean, like, sure, a lot of teams will be willing to listen, but the realistic list of teams that are, like, actually going to want to trade for Soros, it's like New Jersey, Washington, maybe Toronto now. I mean, like, it's maybe a half dozen teams. It's not a lot of teams. So I think Trotz probably is going to have to reassess. I can't only just deal my way out of this. I've got to find ways to get guaranteed, you know, guys in the room that I know can make a difference. And, you know, he's going to have to deal with his first, not his first, but a really important draft this year. And like, how is he going to trade some of these picks in order to get better now? But I think Trotz maybe is going to have to reassess. Like, he can't just go into this and think like last year and sign a bunch of veterans. Like, he can't just go and, you know, get Steven Stamkos and, you know, Sam Reinhart and Jake Guentzel and be like, okay, now we're ready to go again. I think he's got to realize like we need some younger guys. We need some good young 23, 24 year old guys that can make a difference, because that was the difference with Vancouver. They had those guys. They had those guys that could play like that. And a lot of the, you know, a lot of the teams that are still in it, for sure. So does that mean he tries a new avenue? Maybe he goes the offer sheet route. I know everyone loves to play pretend and imagine what could happen there. Does he go the offer sheet route? Does he go with the massive trade where he gets, you know, Cole Caulfield from Montreal or something like that? That would be intriguing. But like, I think everything's on the table with Trotz this summer.
Alex, how do you see the Soros situation playing itself out this summer? Do you think he's re-signed? Do you think that Barry Trotz wants to trade him away and go younger with Askarov? How do you view where the goaltending situation is now for the Predators in the aftermath of this season?
Yeah, I think it related to what I was just saying, like I think Trotz has to decide whether he wants the known commodity or whether he wants to try Askarov. And I think we could see a drastic change here. I'd be willing to bet that Soros is not on this team next year, as we've already seen him play his last game. And you know, obviously that means you got to sign Kevin Lankinen for the next couple of years, give him a nice run. And that wouldn't be terrible. They wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't be a bottom team with Lankinen in that either. But I think Trotz probably realizes that he needs to get better skaters rather than just solidify his goaltending situation. He needs difference makers on the ice. You know, he talked about this when he was making those moves to claim these waivers guys, right? Like Jared Aaronson Dolan and Samuel Fagamo. He was like, these are just free looks at guys. You can take a look and see what they got and see if they have anything that makes a difference, makes them different on the ice. But what skills do they have that can set them apart? You know, some guys had speed, some guys had skill and whatever. I think he knows he needs to go get a young player that is a difference maker, that is a next level, that can change momentum just because of how good they are. And, now the return for Soros is not going to be great. People think it's going to be this huge thing. It's really not. I think you know, the trade that we saw bandied about Dawson Mercer from the Devils, it's going to be something like that. I mean, maybe that's fine, but I do not think he needs to give Saros a long term deal. I think it's going to be if I was willing to bet, I think Saros is gone, and we have Lankinen and Askarov in Nashville next year.
So, Alex, as you look at what is in the organization now, how many guys and who would they be? Would you look at and say, because I think we'd all agree, Luke Evangelista, the trajectory is very positive, and I think he's going to be a very good player. How many guys right now, you know, Milwaukee or not yet Milwaukee, do you look at and say, okay, that I would identify that guy as someone who could actually be one of those difference makers here in a couple of years?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tanner Mullendike is that. I think Joachim Kimmel is that. And that might be the list. I mean, those two are the ones that I feel like are difference makers. I don't know what their ceiling is. You could look at Fedor Svechkov as a guy. You know, he's very young still, but he had that bad injury this year. Zach LaRue is not – I wouldn't see him as a difference maker, more of like a – he can be a cheaper option to fill out the bottom of your roster. But that's it. I mean, it's just like those guys and I mean, Ryan Ufko, I mean, like he's pretty good at defense, but they need forwards. They need like just really solid offensive forwards. And the everyone was, you know, we had these – there were the three or four young players coming into the season, Juuso Parsonen, Igor Afanasyev, Philip Tomasino, Luke Evangelista. Well, you hit on one of them. You know, like one of them is going to stick with the roster. The others, I don't know. I mean, maybe, maybe not. But I think you have to have like that. If that's your ratio, you're going to have to just go get more guys. You know, you've got to have three or four other guys you think could make the difference. And that's what you're going to have to do. So that's about it. And I think they have to really think about how, you know, like I said before, I think the strategy Trotz had about like, let's go get these known commodities. Let's go get these free agents that we know are good, Ryan O'Reilly and everything. He's probably going to have to reconsider that being the move every year because he saw what it did for him. He saw like, it made the team good. It made the team, it changed the room, and that's important, but you've got to get young players that are difference makers. And right now they don't have enough.
Well, Alex, great stuff, man. Appreciate you playing hurt with us this morning and powering through, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to go take a nap now.
Alex Dorney from Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll react to what Alex had to say. More of your thoughts on the Preds coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.